Welcome to part two of Receive the Blessing or Receive the Covenant Blessing. And take your Bibles, please, and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God is so good. He is all love. We can never outgive God. We can never outlove God. All we can do is start believing it and receiving and walking in the goodness and the generosity of God's love towards us. Did I say 2 Corinthians chapter 1? And learn to put our focus on God. Get my focus off my flesh and get my focus on my Father, on His love, on His legal blessings, on the covenant that He's made with me, the covenant that He's made with you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, we read, But as God is true, God is true, God is truth. He's not a man that He should lie. He is open and honest with us at all times. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. God, you know, Paul is saying the word of God that he preached to these people was not wishy-washy, but it was backed up by the truth, the covenant relationship that God put behind his word. Verse 19, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Again, not a wishy-washy foundation, but a true foundation. Look at verse 20. For A-L-L, all the promises of God in Christ in him are yes, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All of God's promises are yes. People say, well, sometimes God's answer to a prayer is no. Not if it's in the Bible. He's never going to say no to those promises. 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God can't say no to that. He says yes. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have a need. I come to God. God promises to supply it. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Again, God cannot say no to that. God's promises are yes. God's promises are amen. God's promises are so be it. They are there for us to receive at will. Not some crazy stuff we dream up, but his promises. But to receive them, we receive them by faith. We receive them by walking in agreement with God. Once we're born again, the battlefield for the abundant life, is in our mind. The battle is in our mind to accept the gospel. And you know what the word gospel means? It means the almost too good to be true news. Sometimes what God gives us does seem almost too good to be true. And yet, he still has given it to us. But you say, well, Peg, I don't have all sufficiency. Peg, I don't have all my needs met. Peg, I don't have prosperity. Peg, I don't have perfect health. Well, let me ask you a question. If I go over and turn a light on and that light doesn't light up, everything else in my house is working, that lamp doesn't light up. If I go to my lamp, turn it on, it doesn't light up. Do I immediately get on the phone with the power company Sony Electric, what's wrong with you? My lamp doesn't work. My lamp isn't working. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you giving me electricity for my lamp? Is that what I do? No, you know what I do? I go check the bulb. And if I put a new bulb in and that one lamp doesn't work, you know what I do? I go check my fuse box. See, too many times we don't get an answer for prayer in the first, well, God, why aren't you giving me this? I prayed for health. I'm believing for help. Why? No. First of all, you do your checkup. Well, do I believe God loves me enough to give me this? Check. Do I believe he's given it to me through Jesus Christ? Check. Am I walking in obedience to what he's told me to do? If part of this is my part, am I walking in obedience? Check. Okay, am I walking in faith? Am I trusting God? Am I in agreement with him? Check. Am I speaking in faith what God tells me to speak over this problem or situation? Check. I guarantee you, if you've got all those boxes checked, you're getting your answer. Even if you don't see it at that moment, your answer is coming. It's on the way because God cannot say no. He cannot break or alter his covenant. And a covenant man shall abound with blessing. Yes, I know the demons, the devil is always grasping, grappling, fighting to steal the covenant blessing from our mind, to steal the covenant blessing from our mouth. They're trying to take away from us the things that God has freely given to us through Jesus Christ. But man, if my lamp doesn't work, I'm not blaming the power company. Now, yes, I know if you have a power outage, yes, they have to come fix it. But that's not the problem. That's never the problem from heaven to man. That's never the problem from the throne room to us because Satan can't get in there and give a power outage. All he can do is try to break your bulb or go mess up with your fuse box. Folks, I guarantee you have that stuff in order. It has to come to pass or this whole Bible would fall to pieces. Man, God so loved, he gave. He didn't take. God so loved, he gave. God is the giver. He's never the taker. God is love. John 3:16. Love is giving. And as you believe, so you will receive. He's given us the car, given us the keys, given us the tax title. Why do we keep begging him, please let me drive the car? God, please give me healing. God, please answer this need in my life. God, please. When we need to be saying, Father, I thank you. I don't feel perfect today, but my healing is mine in Jesus' name. My healing is coming even as I speak. I speak to you, checkbook. I command the favor of the Lord to be upon you. I command those avenues for prosperity to open. I command the wisdom of God to come alive in my life. That's usually the prosperity that we need the most. I thank you, Father, that you're giving me wisdom on how to live a great life in concert with you. That you're opening up my understanding to these truths in your word. The wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the redemption of God. These are gifts. The health of God, the prosperity of God. These are gifts. We live under the blessing, which never changes. And if you say, well, I don't feel blessed. Well, guess what? God still blessed you. It's just up to us to receive it. How do you think God feels when we don't receive what he's freely given us? It says in Ephesians that it grieves the Spirit. It grieves him at his heart when we don't walk in the blessings that he has freely given us through his Son. It cost God everything. He gave the most precious thing he had, his Son, so that we could freely receive his blessings. Romans 11:29, it says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God's wisdom is a gift. The new birth is a gift. God's righteousness is a gift. God's reconciliation is a gift. God's health is a gift. God's prosperity is a gift. God's peace is a gift. God's love is a gift. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You know what that word repentance means? That they are irrevocable. Without repentance is one Greek word that means irrevocable, irrevocable, irrevocable. He can't take it back. Why has Satan tricked us into begging God for things that he's already given us that are irrevocable? What we need to do is say, Father, you know, I'm not receiving this. I don't have it at this moment. I don't have this prosperity. I don't feel righteous, but I am. So, Father, lead me, guide me, open your word to me. Help me see it with the eyes of my understanding. But man, you can't see it when you're walking around blaming God. You can't see it when you're walking around begging for things you've already got. You can't see it when you're all down on yourself and condemning yourself because you haven't received it. Boy, that's, talk about a dog chasing its tail. You know, you have a need, you don't have it, and what do? You start beating up on yourself? Do I receive every single time I pray in the way I want to receive immediately as soon as I pray it? No, not really. But man, I receive so much more than I used to. And I'm learning how to be more and more consistent in keeping my receiver turned on. I'm learning how to be more and more consistent with coming back to God and letting Him train me up in the way I should go so that I can walk in a more consistent blessing. You know, I love miracles, man, but by the time you get a miracle, you're in a crisis. I'd rather learn how to walk in God's blessings so I never get in the jam to need the miracle in the first place, but that's a whole nother teaching. Hey, I love a miracle. I'll take a miracle anytime I need one, but I'm much more focused at this point in my spiritual walk to learn how to walk just in the blessings of God so I never even get to that place where I need the miracles because I'm just blessed. Day after day, moment after moment, situation after situation, I have learned how to walk in the favor of the Lord with consistency. You know, Psalm 91 verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And man, then those things come and I get them met with the blessing of God before they turn into a crisis, before they get to that I need a miracle stage. Don't get me wrong. Please don't say Peg doesn't want miracles. Yes, I do want miracles. But I don't think walking from crisis to crisis, needing a miracle every 3 or 4 days is how God wants us to live. I think He wants us to live in His blessing. He wants us to live being consistently in His favor. That's really the goal. You know, Jesus performed a lot of miracles, but not for Himself. Why? Because Jesus walked in God's favor consistently. Day in and day out, Jesus' needs were supplied. And often they were supplied even before He needed them. All that God is ever going to do, all that God is ever going to give to His children is already done. Waiting for us in the spirit realm to be brought over into this life by our faith confession. Bible faith is nothing more than simply agreeing with God. Bible faith is nothing more than simply agreeing with God. And all of God's promises, all of God's covenant is based on His love for us, His grace towards us, and all of God's covenant promises are received the same way by faith, by agreeing with God. Yep, I believe that. Just like Sarah, she counted Him faithful who had promised. Yep, I don't see how, but I know God can do that. Because God has made himself responsible for us. God has made himself responsible for our protection, for our wisdom, for our health, from all our diseases and sicknesses, to supply all of our needs. And all we need to do is walk in agreement with his voice. You know, I think we have equated doing God's word with works. God equates doing his word, following his word, obeying his word with love. When we love God, we keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. What are commandments? They're words. They're words. Commandments are words. Covenants are words. God's relationship with us is based on words. So, you know, sometimes I'm taking pauses here because you just got to let this stuff sink into your heart. I would that y'all spake in tongues. This is a commandment of the Lord. Do I do that because I have to? No, I do that because I realize God gave me that to do because he loves me. And I love him enough to do it. God says, forgive that neighbor who's been such a jackass. Is that good works? No, I do it because I'm endeavoring to walk in love as he has loved. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has loved us. See? Put away lying. We look at that as works. No, it's love. It's my response out of love. God says quit stealing. Could you look at that as works? I guess you could. But God says I do that because I love him. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written. What's written? Words. Unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not question, not doubt, not have hesitancy, that you may know. That ye may know that you have, number one, eternal life. We are going to live forever and ever because we believed the words of God. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence, the same confidence that Joshua had back when he heard the word of the Lord and spoke for the sun and the moon to stand still for one day. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything, A-N-Y, you know what anything is? It's very similar to the word A-L-L, all. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. We don't question, we don't doubt, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Don't you think if you just believed those three verses, your life would change overnight? You betcha. When sickness or tragedy came our way, we would know that if we could go to the Word and find the promise, that we would absolutely, unequivocally have the petition that we ask. You know, but in most of religion, when somebody gets sick or they lose their entire business or their house burns down, they just say, oh, brother, that's the will of the Lord. The Lord's teaching you something. Doggone it, people, what is the will of the Lord? All sufficiency, all things, health and prosperity. That we have a hedge of protection around us so Satan can't even get to our property. Satan can't even get to our body. He can't get to our children. Man, when are we going to wake up and stop being in agreement with the adversary and start being in agreement with the Lord? I tell you what happens, man, and all this religious stuff. Oh, I'm sick. God's just teaching me. God's just training me. God's just putting me through the sausage maker, trying to try my faith. More precious than gold. Oh, boy. And man, when we're down and out, it's so tricky, such a serpent, such a snake, that he can get in between our thoughts and start getting us to think Satan's way instead of God's way. You know, there's some stuff down here in the South called snake away. Man, we need that snake away. How? By putting on the truth of God's word, keeping the serpent out of the garden of our heart, keeping his poison out of the fountain of living water in our mind. Look at 1 Samuel, please, chapter 30. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. David had taken away his men of war. This is before he was king. 1 Samuel, chapter 30. Before he was king, he had taken out his men of war out, and because he had them out away from where they lived, the enemy came in. The enemy came in and stole everything out of David's village. Stole all the good stuff they had, you know, the food and the clothing, and more importantly, stole their wives and children. Can you imagine this, coming home and finding out that the enemy had kidnapped your wife and child? And David was pretty freaked out. And the thing was that his men of war, they were ticked off at David and mumbling and wanted to kill him and said, man, if he'd never taken us out there, this would never have happened. They blamed him. And you know what? They probably had a right to do so in that situation, but that didn't make it David's fault. The enemy had come in and stolen. And they were so, it says in verse 3 in chapter 30 in 1 Samuel, it says, David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. This isn't women. This is strong men of war, so emotionally devastated, they did not even have any more power to weep. You know what that was? That was a bad situation. That was a negative situation. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and David was greatly distressed. Verse 6, for the people, his men of war, these men who had been faithful, following David's leadership without question, the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, bitter, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And David could have stayed in that negative position. He could have gotten right down there and he could have wallowed in the gutter and he could have stayed in the pain and the bitterness of that situation. But, oh, I love these big buts in the Bible. But, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. People, I don't care what negative thing is in your life, what challenge, what lack, what poverty, what sickness is in, this is how to turn your receiver back on. This is how to get your receiver back on. You get off your mental duff and get in there and you start encouraging yourself in the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, the life was just coming in on me. It was encroaching from all sides. And you know what I did? This is when I read those great chapters in Joshua, chapters 5 through 11. And I saw how God brought down the walls of Jericho. I saw how God delivered the different vites, Hivites and Amorites and Girgashites into his hand. I saw how God beat the enemy down with hailstones. I saw how Joshua spoke in concert with God, and he made the sun and the moon stand still for about a day. And I said, those miracles are my miracles. That God is my God. That covenant is my covenant. Only I have a better covenant. And every time I would read about a miracle that God did for Joshua, I would say, that's my miracle. And I kept speaking to my situation, my challenge. I kept speaking what the Word said to my situation. And you know what? Within 24 hours, I was delivered. Because I encouraged myself in God. It says in verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. What's David doing here? This ephod is where David inquired of the Lord. This ephod had a black and a white stone inside of it called Urim and Thummim. And they would ask God a question, and Urim meant no, and Thummim meant yes. And they would ask the Lord a question and get his advice, his counsel, his word on the topic. Well, there it says in verse 8, just what I just told you. And David inquired at the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Well, you would think that'd be obvious. Yes, but it wasn't obvious. You know, the men came and told Jesus, Lazarus is dead, and he sat there for 3 days, and then he went to Lazarus. He said, shall I go after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. And God answered David, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And you know what? And David pursued, and that's exactly what happened. They came back to the village with everything that they had lost. Where does it say in verse 18? And David recovered all. Man, you look at your life and say, well, look, this is already gone. I've already lost, you know, $500,000. I've already been told by the doctor I have cancer. I've been trying to understand this thing in the Word for years and I don't get it. See, we see something from our senses and think, how can we get it all back? Verse 18, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his wives. Verse 19, and there was nothing lacking. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Calvary covered it all. Calvary recovered it all. There is nothing that Satan has stolen from you that God can't give you back a hundredfold. Jesus made one simple statement. If thou canst believe, things are possible to him that does one thing. Believes. Bible faith is nothing more than agreeing with God. How do you agree with God? You find the promise. Or you ask God, what is your will in this situation? You claim the promise. You hold the promise. You speak the promise. You disentangle yourself from Satan's endless suggestions of religion. God did that just to test you. Of self-condemnation. Well, God won't do it for me. I'm too messed up. Well, first of all, why don't you look in that area where you're messed up and ask God to help you clean it up? Number three, denying what God has already said. Well, I see what God says here, but, you know, I don't know how God can do that for me. No, 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 1,000 times. No, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People, that is not the word head knowledge. It's the Hebrew word yada, which means intimacy. Intimacy, which means trust. Love without trust is nothing. The reason we submit to God is because we believe He loves us. The reason we submit to God is because we love Him in return. And the great thing is, the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Fleety, fly, flow, flee. Fleety, flacky, get out of there. You get delivered, you get healed, you get blessed. I could sit here and go through my personal life and tell you tons of miracles. I could go through my personal life and tell you tons of blessings. But that ain't going to make you more blessed. You've got to start believing that God wants to bless you. And you've got to quit being impatient. That if God doesn't bless you the way you want to be blessed, in the time frame you want to be blessed, that means He hasn't blessed you. God will bless you. He will bring it to pass the way He wants to bring it to pass. For Joshua, he defeated the enemy with hailstones. He told Joshua to stop the sun and the moon, and bam, 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 he did. But my people are destroyed for lack of intimacy. My people are destroyed for lack of trusting in me. And people, that's a love problem. That's not an intellect problem. It's a heart problem. You know, I hear these married men that have affairs. They say, well, I had an affair, but I really love my wife. No, you don't. You don't know the first thing about love. Because love is built on trust. Love is built on truth. Love is built on honoring the person that you love, not dishonoring them. And see, Satan has got us applying all these things that people say that are just as dumb as dirt, and applying that stuff to God. Well, God loves you so much, He's going to give you cancer. God loves you so much, He's going to burn your house down. God loves you so much, He's going to withhold the word, the wisdom from... No! That's Satan. God loves me enough, He's going to heal my child of cancer. He loves me enough, He's not going to have my house burned down. He's going to have a hedge of protection so Satan can't get to it. God loves me enough that He's going to reveal His word to me in these areas where I need to grow. But man, when we're listening to and agreeing with the words of the adversary, we don't have our receiver turned on. He wants us to live like beggars rather than commanders. He wants us to be begging God rather than standing on the covenant promise. We can command it, not because we're shoving God around, but because we are speaking His covenant words into the atmosphere, and this is the way that life is set up to be lived according to God's word. We speak these things because we walk in agreement with God. We don't have to convince God to bless us. We don't have to convince God to heal us. We don't have to convince God to give us wisdom. He's already given it to us. We have to write the check. We have to turn the TV set on. We have to flip the light switch. How? By believing that He loves us enough that He's already done it. You know what? You are creating your own future right now with the words that you're continually speaking, both internally and externally. You're creating your own future right now by the words that you are speaking, both internally and externally. So turn your receiver on by speaking the covenant blessing. Agree with God. Find the promise. Inquire of the Lord. Get His resolution in your mind and say, I am a covenant child now. I am blessed with the Father's blessing now. I am unconditionally loved by God now. I can go forth in victory in Jesus Christ now. Quit begging and start living like a covenant heir, a royal heir, the child of the King Eternal and the brother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the joint heir with Christ. Accept God's word with thanksgiving. Speak it, speak it, speak it. All that you and I will ever need in this life has already been provided for us by God, Ephesians 1:3, and is established in the blood covenant through Jesus Christ. All we have to do is turn on our receiver to receive the covenant blessing. Folks, why are we trying to talk God into doing stuff that He's already done? Why are we trying to beg God to give us something that we've already got? Take the keys to the Cadillac SUV. Walk out the front door with confidence. Put that key in the ignition. Turn it on and drive away in thanksgiving. Accept it, accept it, accept it. He's given us through Jesus Christ the keys, the title, the tags, everything we need to drive forth in whatever is the will of God. All sufficiency in all things. That is the will of God. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to inquire about it. It's already written. If it's written, you don't have to inquire. It's right there in black and white. And then we walk forth saying of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. We will walk forth saying, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Nothing can separate me from those things except my own unbelief. We can ask God to help us out of that place of unbelief and get us back to where we are abounding, where two are walking together because we are agreed. We can start confessing that God will not break or alter His covenant, Psalm 89:34. Maybe you need to print that out and put it on your refrigerator. And then we can confess that God's desire for our life is crystal clear, Proverbs 28:20, that a covenant man shall abound with blessings, and doggone it, don't stop until you're abounding. Don't stop till you're abounding. Don't stop until you're abounding. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Talk to people that are faithful believers who will encourage you in the Lord. Stay away from the negative Nellies. When you find yourself speaking curses or negative things over yourself, stop. Push the stop button. Change your confession. Speak the blessings of the Lord over yourself, over your family, over your children, over your goods. And don't quit until you receive the promise into manifestation. George Mueller, man, he would have a promise and people would start being negative and saying, I don't know how this is going to come to pass. And he would just keep speaking until it came to pass. And it came to pass for George Mueller on a greater consistency than anybody I know except Jesus Christ. So that means you can do it. Mueller did it. You can do it. Mueller did it. I can do it. David did it. I can do it. If thou canst believe, if you can just line your words up with God's words, Bible faith is nothing more than agreeing with God. And if you can agree with God, all things are possible to him that believes, to him that agrees with God. So Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the incredible blessings, the magnitude of blessings, Father. How many? I don't even want to think about the blessings I haven't received. I just want to start today receiving more and more of the blessings of God, because this is how you designed my life to be lived. You gave the highest gift so that I could live the more abundant life, so that I could shout the beauty and the glory of my God from the rooftop, so I could bring people unto you by letting them see my life as an example of the variegated wisdom of God, of the blessings of God, of the joy of the Lord that dwells in my heart because I walk and talk in the covenant relationship with my Father, and therefore I abound in the love of God. I abound in the blessings of God, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to strive for. So, Father, I just thank you. You are blessed among all. You are the God of eternity. You are the God of the universe, and you have chosen to have a love relationship with your children. And, Father, for that, I am eternally grateful. So, Father, I am going to make a commitment to line my mouth up with your words, to be in agreement with you. That's my part of the covenant. It sounds simple, Father, but it takes commitment. It takes persistence. And, Father, I will work to that end. In Jesus' name, with your help, amen.